Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Yes, it is Hump Day, Wednesday. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's December 12th, 2012, 12-12-12, episode 550, brought to you today by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cutting this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I ride a song. Everybody.
So good morning, everybody. Thank you for listening in to Horses in the Morning this morning. Jamie, how many people do you think at 12 past 12, at 12 past noon today, will be posting on their Facebook page that it's 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12?
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be epic. They're going to be flooded. It's going to be crazy.
I hope they put extra just server space up at 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12.
Yeah, I don't have time for that, so I don't know where I'll be at 12-12.
And, of course, we're only a few short days left till the end of the world. Did you bother paying your mortgage this month, or were you like other people, just skip it just in case?
Well, you know, I just kind of got lost in the whole Christmas thing. So I think everything got paid. I'm not sure. I don't really care. I'm paying Christmas credit cards next month, so... Maybe I won't have to do that. Maybe everybody's Christmas present will be free.
That could be. You're right.
I didn't think about the credit card thing. How about you guys? Did you pay your mortgage? Are you taking this as a sign? Is the world ending?
No, we really wanted to keep our house for the few short days we had left. So, yes, we did pay it at the beginning of the month.
Yeah,
it just really did. Now, the Pope came out and said yesterday that the world is not coming to an end. Don't worry. So we're okay.
Oh.
Everything's good.
Well, so we're good. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
The Pope is going to be smarter than, the Mayans that left a long time ago. I mean,
that's right.
Really.
He has a current line. They had an old line to the heavens. So,
exactly.
Yeah. So, and he's starting to tweet today under his own. Apparently, he's going to be tweeting himself. So everybody's getting in on the Twitter act. Apparently the Vatican's had a Twitter account for a long time, but the Pope is going to be tweeting starting today. So we'll see how that goes.
Here's how we know if it's the Pope or not that's actually tweeting. It's going to have just an actual sentence instead of hashtag this, hashtag that,
that's right.
PGI this, attachments here and there. This is a photo of me hanging out Gangnam style. Like, that is not the Pope.
It's going to have actual punctuation and capitalization.
Yes, exactly.
Jennifer, what's up today?
On today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, Casey Kasem, eat your heart out, because today we are all about the music with a sappy list of holiday tunes. And then we transition into a chat about holiday vacations with the Victoria, the Velvet Voice of Horse and Country TV. And we wrap the session with barrel racer and country musician Christy Lee Cooked. So stay tuned for the fray.
Very good. Thank you, Jennifer. Well, my daily whinny goes out to Karen Isberg of Kentucky Performance Products. She was the one that founded Kentucky Performance Products, has been a terrific sponsor of ours since day one here at the Horse Radio Network. And she's been a title sponsor of the Horses in the Morning show every Friday since we started. So we thank her for all of her support, and also give her this. Happy birthday, Karen.
Happy birthday.
All right, so yesterday was not the best day that I've ever had. One of my horses was colicky. I had Edward was crazy because he hadn't been turned out because we irrigated the pastures. And it was just one of those really tough days. But my last lesson that I had to teach of the day was there are two children. One is 6 and one is 7. So needless to say, this is an exhausting lesson. So I'm out there. I'm helping them get all packed up. I'm running around like crazy. Their parents are there because everybody's in town for, it seems like, the holidays. They're military, too. So their families are in town. There's probably 15 people standing at my house by the wash racks where the kids getting the horses tacked up. And, you know, I told you guys last week that I had a chicken taken by a hawk, and I actually saw the hawk sitting on my chicken, eating my chicken. Like, it was very devastating. I had 10 girls. They're my pets. But there's one who is my favorite, and that is Happy the chicken that I rescued from the boa constrictor at the pet store. Do you remember that?
Yep. Happy the chicken. I remember Happy.
Happy the chicken.
Happy hangs out with you all day.
Yes, Happy hangs out with me. I carry her around like a purse, like a designer dog, okay? This chicken, I carry her around. She falls asleep. She dangles in my arms because she falls asleep when I'm carrying her around. I teach with her. I hold her all the time. She is my favorite. She's also very small. She's a mixed breed, so she's like a bantam. She probably weighs like maybe a pound. So she's a very tiny little Happy chicken. You guys, seriously, since the hawks have come and taken my last chicken or eaten my last chicken on my property, Stella, I have not let the chickens out unless I am there, unless I'm standing there, because I've seen the hawks at my house, and then I drive up, they fly away. So I've seen these little a-holes, and I keep an eye on them. So I only let the chickens out when I'm out doing stuff, like in that area. If they get too far away, I call them to come back. I'm standing out there with 10, 15 people, horses, kids, people running around like crazy. I swear to you, 15 feet from me, Happy standing there on the ground, and a bloody hawk dives down up the tree and picks her up.
No.
So grabs her. Now, let me tell you a little something about Mama Bear, okay? I chased a hawk with my chicken in her claws.
Oh, no.
I'm like, and of course I look crazy because these people were all facing me and I'm facing towards the tree because I'm about to walk out with their kids and ponies. Nobody saw this happen, but all of a sudden I'm like, hey, look over. And
I don't
know where the adrenaline sprung into action, where I developed masterful Olympic speed like that, but I took off after that hawk. It grabbed her. By the time it landed its talons on her, I was 6 feet away. And I'm like, hey! And I start running. At some point, I picked up a boot. I had my big rubber boots out. I picked up a boot, and I throw the boot at the hawk. Guess what happens? It drops my little Happy chicken right in front of me, totally unharmed. Yay!
My God. Oh. Well, you got lucky on that one, didn't you? Wow.
I had the worst freaking day yesterday. I just, now I don't know what to do. I'm like, she's living in the house. That's it. I'm like, we're done. She is coming in the house.
Can you litter box train a chicken?
You know what? I would die trying. This is my little baby, okay?
It's good you were there.
Oh, can you believe that it drops down out of the tree directly in front of all of those people? No fear. After I threw the boot at it, which of course I missed, but it flew up to the fence that was probably 20 feet away and stared at me like, I'll get you. I'm coming for it.
It dropped the chicken because you scared the crap out of it.
I know. But then it was like, nah, nah, nah. It was like stalking me. It's stalking me. I'm not kidding you. These hawks, it's a pair. It's the same exact pair that took Stella. I cannot take it. I don't know what to do. I'm not a violent person. I don't even know how to shoot a gun, but I'm going to carry one. You watch out.
You know what this means? You're going to have to get your husband out there with some tools, and he's going to have to build you a chicken enclosure that's completely covered with chicken wire so that they have an area to roam and they're safe.
Well, I have one of those, but it's only the size of a horse stall. And I understand that we're quite lucky. Our chickens are quite lucky because they do have that much room. But they're used to having 3 acres.
No. I think you're going to have to do a whole acre pasture that way with the chicken wire.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's a really good idea. I think we should do that. I think you're totally right.
Yeah, you get him right on that, okay?
Okay.
I
know what?
That.
After I start crying as much as I did after telling him the story last night, he may do it. Seriously? Might as well.
He just bought all the chicken wire in Arizona yesterday.
And I am a pregnant, emotional woman, and Mama Bear instinct is very high in me right now. I almost leapt up in the air and grabbed that hawk by the ankle.
I want to know what the people did that were watching. Did they let you teach their children after that, or did they just quietly say, you know, I think we had something else we forgot about. We're leaving now.
You know what's bad? I was meeting, like, their grandparents for the first time, and I'm like, come on, nice to meet you. And I'm running after this hawk. They were like, I mean, of course, once they turned around, they saw the hawk drop it. So at least they didn't think I was just some psycho woman chasing after birds, grabbing chickens, you know. Like, I mean, everybody knows that this little happy chicken is my favorite little pet, you know. It's like I said, I carry it around. It fits on my shoulder. It's weird. It's an unhealthy chicken-to-human relationship is what it is.
You talk about me liking Jeff Dunham, who plays with puppets. You play with live chickens. I mean, what's the difference?
I know. It's a huge difference. I'll stick my hand up her butt, okay?
You would if you could.
If I had to, I would.
Well, I'm glad that Happy's okay. I really am.
Thank you. It was a very traumatic day.
I would hate to see you if something happened to Happy. I'm really telling you, he's got to enclose an acre. And he's got to make it tall enough that the horses can still go out in the paddock. So
He is so stressed out about this now. He's like, he does not know what I'm going to do to myself if something gets this chicken. Like, I will lose my mind. So it's a bad, I found this little chicken and he realized that, like, we love each other. He's like, this is going to end very poorly. This is a really bad idea. Really bad idea. I want you to set yourself up now for understanding that we live in places where coyotes and hawks are prevalent and you have a tiny chicken.
And snakes. Let's not forget big snakes. Let's throw those
exactly
in there. Yeah. Well, really bad ads this Friday. We are giving away a pair of hose nozzles from HydroTea. You can find them at HydroTea.com. These hose nozzles were specially designed for horse people, specially designed also, you know those times, Jamie, when your horse injures itself, its leg, and you say to your husband, Chad, you know, I'm teaching a lesson. Could you just take this hose and spray it on your horse's leg, on my horse's leg for about 45 minutes? It'll save a vet bill. Well, that's what these HydroTea nozzles were made for, is handing off to horse husbands so that they can spray your horse's leg when he gets injured. And they're perfect for that. They're also great for baths and everything else that you would like to do with a hose nozzle with your horse. HydroTea.com. That's this
only
Friday.
Only horse people would try to win desperately a pair of hose nozzles. I mean, it's such an exciting prize. And it's like, really? Women want hose nozzles. But yes, we do. Get them. Get your really bad ads, and these are awesome.
That's true. That is true. That's funny. That's true. And you know what? This is a $40 value because these are $19.95. So when we're giving away a pair of them. So leave
Very
a holiday
cool.
voicemail if you would like. We did this last year. We got a bunch of people leaving holiday voicemails that we then played on the air before Christmas. You can leave a holiday voicemail, you know, say Merry Christmas to your friends, your family, your horse, your pets, your dog, your horse husband. We don't care. Your pony club. Just leave it at 270-803-0025. That's 270-803-0025. Well, Jamie, last week we played the 10 worst Christmas songs in the radio this year, and I got a lot of comments from people about how much fun they thought that was.
And
one of them said, you know, you shouldn't leave on a negative note, because we were, you know, it was a pretty negative show. We were talking about all the crappy Christmas songs there are. So they said, why don't you do the top Christmas songs? So I found, put out by the Radio Association or some such organization, the 10 most played Christmas songs on radio this year. So I thought we would see if we agree with any of these. So, and then we picked out our favorite Christmas songs, which I got to say was tougher than picking the crappy ones. Picking the favorites of things is always tougher. I don't know why. You have more favorites, I think. You know which ones you hate. But you kind of like a lot of them, you know? So it's tough.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Here is number 10 on the list of the most played Christmas songs on radio this year. And
this by saying that this is actually a list from this year. Okay?
That's right.
This current year of 2012, this is not a list from 1927.
You might think that when you hear them.
Yeah. I know.
I was surprised, too, actually. Here we go. First one takes a second. Here we go.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you recall the most famous reindeer of all, Rudolph?
Yep, that's right, Rudolph. Now, that was the one they specified was the original Gene Autry one. And this has been remade by how many people, Jamie? 1,000?
Without a doubt.
But the Gene Autry one apparently is still the favorite. And, you know, this must also be the list that they play in every store you go into in the mall, because these are the songs you hear endlessly in the stores in the mall. So that must be favorites
now,
as well.
I'm looking up right now when Gene Autry recorded these songs, because Gene Autry was a very famous cowboy, but it was a really long time ago that his movies were 1934 is when he started making movies. So this is really an older song, I would probably say from maybe 1950 at the latest. Now, let's go 1948.
Well, in 2 years, Jamie, guess what show you're going to be watching every Christmas?
Uh-oh.
You know you're going to be watching this every Christmas for 10 years while your child is growing up.
Oh.
It's Rudolph for you coming up, Jamie.
I'll take it. That one's cute. The little claymation Rudolph when he can't find it, loses it, trying to cover his nose up and all that. That was really cute. I don't mind. I'm going to embrace the whole, like, Christmassy thing with the kids. But right now, I'm not listening to these radio stations because I don't have to.
How about that? You know, the one that's kind of disturbing that I always thought was kind of disturbing as far as the, you know, the little things that kids watch every year around Christmas time is Frosty. He dies every year. Every year he dies. Kind of disturbing when
they,
you think about it.
They buried him in Pet Cemetery, and so he comes back every year.
Now the next one, number 9 on this list. Sleigh Ride by the Ronettes. That also has to be about the same time as Gene Autry, doesn't it?
Actually, I looked this one up. That was 1963. And you know what? It's funny. Every time I go Christmas shopping, I hear that song in the store.
I think it's a staple. You know, do you think that they get a residual still for every time it's played in the store across America?
You bet your butt they do if they signed a decent contract at all, and they are living large. Have you ever seen the movie About a Boy? It's Hugh Grant. His father wrote a famous Christmas song, and he's like a trust fund baby for the rest of his life.
Do you know the guy who did Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer? I heard him interviewed last year. He has lived off of that ever since.
Oh, that's no doubt.
That's his sole form of income, that song. Well, the next one, Jennifer's going to shoot herself. I think she probably just went to the bathroom. Here we go.
Oh, God.
Jennifer's working. That was the end of that song. Anybody have any guesses what that was?
Play it. Let's play it. We got to play it. Go ahead.
Let's see. I don't know if she's going to interrupt me again.
Gotta let it go. Suck it up. Oh, God, that's awful. You stop it!
You're asking for it. Yeah, that's the Drummer Boy by the Harry Simone Orchestra, Little Drummer Boy. You can probably avoid that one. Maybe your son won't be interested in the Little Drummer Boy, and you get away with not watching it.
There's no way I'm letting him have that. Little Drummer Boy in 1965. But, oh, that was the new version in 1965. The original one was done, I believe, in 1960. So he revamped it in 65. I don't know what version we're hearing. Probably the revamped one.
I'd be interested to hear the next one, that number 7 on the list. Look that one up a while, because I don't know what year this was. I don't think it was too old, but maybe it is.
God, it's a song. Oh.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and
gotta
blowing
be the
a bushel of fun. Now the jingle.
And of course,
you know
that jingle rocks.
Yeah, Bobby Helms, do you know the people every year, brand new artists every year come out with Christmas albums? Every year. Why exactly do we not play any of those? Jingle Bell Rock by Bobby Helms was written and recorded, or at least recorded, in 1957.
I think it sounded like a 50s tune. It did sound like a 50s song. Yeah.
Ugh, awful.
Well, we're going back in time with number 6.
Yeah, even older.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
Tell me you don't hear that when shopping.
The fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go.
Of course, that's Let It Snow by Andy Williams. That's probably 60s.
Let's see. This one's not giving me the date as easily. I'm going to have to find it here. So talk amongst yourselves.
All right. Yeah, Let It Snow by Andy Williams. I don't know, Jennifer, do you like old songs? Do you like that one? Or?
Not that version, but yes, I like Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow. I do a lot.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
And you're not
it was definitely not 2011, sorry, which is when it was uploaded to YouTube. Who would upload that to YouTube? Why? Why did this person, La LaRue, decide that Andy Williams' song, Let It Snow, needed to be uploaded to YouTube? I don't know. You need a life.
See, now, it used to be that Let It Snow was something that was a possibility in our lives. Jennifer, that's just a fantasy now. It's 75 degrees today. Yeah. Number 5, White Christmas by Bing. By the way, we are warmer than you today, aren't we, Jamie?
I don't know. What's your temperature today?
We're going to hit almost 80 today.
Oh, yeah. You're warmer than us. We're having a cold snap. It's like 65.
Here's number 5 on that list. Another brand new song right out of the track. Jennifer likes it.
Of a white Christmas.
Jennifer likes that one. If I want to have a happy weekend, I can play that one. It works every time.
You know what? 19. Guess the year. 19 something.
42.
Ooh, it's way newer than that. 54.
Really? Now, the next one, we're getting a little closer in time. You know, we are, sort of. This is the next one. This is the 10 most played Christmas songs on radio this year. This is number 4. I can honestly say I don't think I've heard it on radio.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not bow. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list. He's checking his wife. He's gonna find out.
Jennifer says they don't play this one as often because it's a higher royalty because Bruce Springsteen recorded it.
That's why they play all the old ones.
That's free. So, Jamie, that's newer. That's got to be 70s.
Probably I would go with early 80s. Early 80s, maybe. 80s. And again, that's still over. Now, let me just paint a picture for you people. That's over 30 years old. 30.
Yeah, that's
years.
Kind of hard. That's making me feel old now.
Right? I feel old too.
Number 3 on this list.
This one ranks up there with that George Michael song.
I'll let it go.
Okay,
it almost sounds like it's recorded in slow motion, doesn't it? Like they recorded it and then they slowed the track down and put it on the record.
Let me tell you how they recorded that, because this is the year 1987. Casio keyboard, okay? It's awful.
That's the Eurythmics. God, whatever happened to them? Is this their one-hit wonder? Do they have any other one-hit wonder, any hits?
Isn't the Eurythmics Annie Lennox? I mean, she has some other songs, didn't she? Is that Annie Lennox? I don't think so.
Yeah,
well, maybe.
They didn't have
much
else. That's for sure. Next one. Number 2.
Have yourself.
You can imagine yourself shopping here right now.
I feel like I'm at the Gap.
Yep.
Let your heart be light.
Of course, that's the Pretenders, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. That has to be 60s.
I don't know. That one, I don't know that one at all. I didn't even recognize that song, that version of that song.
Yeah, it's the Pretenders. That's been around forever. And then the number one song, and I'm going to say that there probably has been more babies conceived at Christmas time while listening to this particular song than any other.
Really? I'll be the judge.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols.
Nat King Cole and the Christmas Song. That's number
that
one.
That was that's really, his voice is amazing. I got a little buttery when I heard that. And again, would you like to guess the year?
It's got to be 60s again.
Let's just say that he started recording in 1946. 46. Seriously,
you know, these are. You could definitely call these songs standards, that's for sure. Every year, Christmas, they're definitely standards. But Nat King Cole, don't you agree that there's probably been more babies conceived by Nat King Cole songs than anybody else?
All right, well, some of these were not so bad. Most of these were awful. But now I want to hear what you guys chose, because I have a sneaking suspicion that you're going to go one direction that I totally probably disagree with. But I want to hear what you have in store for me.
Jennifer.
That's not a Christmas song.
Yep, Christmas Canon by Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Canon and G.
That's the Christmas Canon by Trans-Siberian Orchestra. When you hear that live, as we have about 10 times in concert, it's kind of haunting. The way it's sung, it's just haunting in a stadium. But that's
so,
and, yeah, go ahead.
So, okay, that's a song called Canon in D, and I know that because I walked down to Mary Chad to that song. So that's it was walking down the aisle. But so they turned it somehow into a Christmas song. It was beautiful.
Yes, they turned it into a Christmas song, and they call it the Christmas Canon. They've taken a lot of their music, they take the old classics, you know, the Bach and Beethoven stuff, and they you know, kick it up a notch, and that's where it comes from. The next one is my favorite, and you will see a theme here with Jennifer and I. This is my favorite. And that song is Wizards in Winter by Trans-Siberian Orchestra, became hugely popular on the videos of houses being lit up to music. So that became hugely popular years ago with all of those videos you saw of the, you know, lights on houses at Christmas time doing their thing. Well, that was where that became popular, but it is one of my favorites. I picked a second one, though, because I knew it would drive Jamie nuts. And it's one of those, you know how we talked about last week how it's not Halloween until you hear Monster Mash? Remember we talked about that?
Well,
for me, it's not Christmas until I hear this. Know what that is, right?
I you know what? I don't know what that is.
Don't?
What is that?
That's Snoopy and the Red Baron at Christmas time. Oh, you're going to be watching that one with the kiddo, too. You'll be watching that Christmas special every year, I guarantee you.
Yeah, I definitely think the Peanuts is the way to go raising a child. So I was raised on it, you were, but I didn't know that song. So there you go.
One of my favorites. And now yours. Let's take a listen to yours.
I'm not kidding you. If Bono shows up on television and says, donate here, I give him whatever I have. The man controls me.
That's
it's Bono, baby, please come home. And he just keeps going, he's like, baby, please come home. He's just like begging, he's pleading me to come to his house, is what I hear when I hear that song. I'm coming, Bono. I'm trying.
I'll be right there.
I've seen you in concert so many times and you never call me back. I don't understand. Yeah, that's one of the celebrities, actually, that I would never like to meet, because if he was anything less than, like, godlike or zen-like, I would be disappointed. Because to me, he the man walks on water. He's like, oh, here, at whatever cause it is, like, I, you know, adopt a baby from Africa. I'm like, okay, give me one. Let's go. Whatever,
you know, my brother hasn't been to too many concerts in his life, just never was into music all that much. But the one concert they've been to a bunch of times is U2. That's the one group they've been to a bunch of times. And you're probably right about Bono. So, you know, you're probably right about most celebrities that way, right? You don't really want to get to know them because you'd go, oh, man, it'd be ruined.
They're like real people and stuff.
Yeah. They like get sick and they like have to go to the store and, you know, all that stuff.
He does not go to the store. Let me tell you that right now. Bono does not go to the store.
He probably doesn't cook much either, Bono.
No, the store comes to Bono and says, sir, what would you like?
Well, that's our list. Those are our top Christmas songs, so we don't end on a negative. That's our top Christmas songs of the year, the ones that are played most on the radio. We're going to take a break for Back on Track products. We'll be right back.
There's a company that we just love that offers products to improve lifestyle and mobility, and they have been the mainstay in European therapeutic therapies for many years. Plus, they are used and endorsed by many of the top dressage, eventing, and show jumping riders worldwide. We are talking about Back on Track, of course. If you're looking for a quality holiday gift for any horse lover that will truly benefit their horse, then look no further than any of Back on Track's products, including exercise boots, bell boots, saddle pads, sheets, and so much more. You can find all of their products at backontrackproducts.com. That's backontrackproducts.com. Or give them a call at 888-758-9836. That's 888-758-9836.
So, Jennifer, you just got word about our guest today. Is that correct?
That is correct. I got an email that the influenza has hit, and there will be no Christy Lee this morning. She's in the bottom three.
She's been voted out.
We were afraid of that. I saw on her Facebook last night that she posted that she's got a cough and she can barely talk and she's trying to find a doctor in the area she was in. So I was afraid that that was going to be the case.
Whatever.
So we're trying to get her rebooked.
All night long, hanging out with all the folks from the red carpet, and she is exhausted. She's hungover. She don't want to deal with us.
Are we going to try and get her rebooked, Jennifer? Does it sound promising? Oh well, this would have been first American Idol on the show.
This I'll tell you a little story here, is when I was doing real radio, I call it real radio because it was real radio.
Yeah, like on a real radio station, yeah.
Like on a real radio station, there was a guest that we booked so many times and never showed up. I mean, we booked this guest probably 20 different times and promoted this. And we had like a million listeners. This is not a small little radio station. These people would promote stuff and stuff would happen. And so most people wanted to be on our show, except for one guest. And so it became the like white elephant, you know, like the guest who never would show up. And so we would call any guest who did not show up by the name of Snoop Dogg. So Christy Lee just Snoop Dogged us is what happened. Snoop Dogg. 20 times, never showed up.
Did you ever talk to him ever? Or just
never. It became a joke. It was like, oh, a guest didn't show up. I guess we were supposed to have Snoop Dogg on. Like, I mean, it was funny because Snoop Dogg literally never showed up for an interview ever.
Now, I'm not going to mention the name of the person, but we have had that here. I have had personal experience. I have my own Snoop Dogg.
And, do you?
Yes, and we booked him at least, I'll say it to him, we booked him at least six times. And I loved this guy. Long before we got into radio and started doing these shows and everything, I'd seen him and I loved him. I thought he was terrific. It was one of those things like we were just talking about. You know, I thought this guy has to be so cool. And I met him at the World Equestrian Games, and he was as dry could be, and it was like he didn't want to be there. And then we tried to get him on the show a number of times. We booked him, talked to him, got him on the booked, and he's never showed up.
You gotta tell me. You throw it out. He's not coming on the show. Throw the name out. I mean, I just threw out Snoop Dogg. I could get shot for that.
That is true. Tommy Turvey. I'll throw him under the bus a little bit. He has stood us up more times. Tommy Turvey has. And, you know, you see his show, he's terrific. He's a comedian. He's funny, you know, and he's still doing his thing across the country. Nope, stood us up every time.
Man, that sucks because that guy would be cool to talk to.
Yeah, he's been blacklisted. He's never coming on our shows ever. I'm sorry.
Let's book him. So Christy Lee is not obviously in the realm of Snoop Dogg or Tommy Turvey just yet. We'll give her another chance. But if you don't show up twice on this show, what do I always say? Done. You're done.
True. That's true. Well, we have somebody that's going to be showing up here in just a second. I think she's calling in now, and that's Victoria Spicer from Horse and Country TV, who I don't think has ever stood us up, has she, Jamie?
Of course not, because she's Victoria Spicer from Horse and Country TV. She's fantastic. And can she hear me yet?
Okay, good. Right now. But she's going to be here in just a second. So we'll have alternate plans. I did have alternate plans in case Christy Lee didn't show up.
You were ready?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, big surprise. I was ready in case the big star didn't show up on our show. But another big star has arrived. She's ready.
Okay, good. That's Victoria Spicer from Horse and Country TV. And she actually was born, I believe, in Scotland, and then she lives in London. But she is now officially an American. Is that true?
Well, I spent 2 weeks and 2 days there, so if that counts as citizenship, then yes, I'm American now.
You know what? People spend less time here, and they're American, so why not?
True. So, okay, I'm American now.
How was your trip?
It was amazing. I had such a good time. I went to 4 different places in just over 2 weeks, and so a lot of time flying. I counted it up earlier, and it was 24 hours in the air.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, your vacation was, to me, like, it would be like you flying from one end of Europe to the other end, like going from Spain to the Czech Republic several times back and forth. I mean, you went all the way across the country a few times. So tell everybody where you started and can just give us a list.
Oh, we flew into New York and spent a couple of days there shopping and attempted to do touristy things, but the weather took a turn for worse. So it ended up being more shopping. And we flew to Las Vegas, and I discovered that I shouldn't be allowed near roulette tables. And watched quite a lot of sport there as well. And then we went down to Miami and just spent 5 days lazing around on the beach, and it was quite warm then, so that was good. And then up to Jacksonville in Florida to watch an NFL game, and the home team lost very badly. And then we went back to New York and home. So that was it.
Yeah. If you went to see the Jaguars, I could have recommended probably a better team to go watch than the Jaguars. But whatever, it's cool. So from New York to Vegas to Miami to Jacksonville randomly, and then all the way up to New York again. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate Americans in, let's say, friendliness?
9 out of 10.
Nine out of 10. Somebody was nice.
Okay.
One person lost it by being very strange and very rude. So they did a disservice to your country.
One person, and you went all over the country?
Yeah.
Wow, they must have been really bad, huh?
It was quite bad, but everybody else was lovely, so that's good.
And then, now, coming from where you live in London, you must have been a little overwhelmed with the flavor in our food, because we actually have flavorful food here. What scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the food?
The food was amazing, but the portion sizes, I can't cope with them. I ordered an appetizer, and it was bigger than a main course over here. So it was a little bit excessive. And you'd order steaks, and, like, you'd just wonder if you got the whole cow. It seemed terrible for my waistline, and I haven't ridden my horse since I got back. When I get on, I think his 4 legs are just going to splay sideways and he's going to refuse to move. So, yes, the food is very good. But I have to say, there's a lot of steak and fish restaurants. Like, I think over in London, like, our cuisine is terrible. Like, British cuisine is very boring and it's very kind of ordinary. But we just constantly go to, you know, Thai restaurants or Indian restaurants or Mexican, and we rarely actually eat traditional British food. But in America, lots of steak and lots of fish, and not a lot of anything else.
Well, that was your own fault, because I love Thai restaurants and Mexican restaurants. That's where I go. Okay, so the 3 things that you have to you try to do on a good vacation is the people you meet, the food you eat, and the places you go. How were the places you visited?
They were all amazing, and I think I picked three of the best cities in America to visit. I'm not so sure about Jacksonville. It's very nice. I'm sure it's lovely in the summer, but not much going on at this time of year. Apologies to all those who live in Jacksonville. And, yeah, they were all amazing. Do you know, I didn't see a horse the entire time I was away. Where are they hiding? They must be somewhere.
Well, they're definitely not in New York or Vegas, okay? Downtown Miami, not so much. So you did not visit most horse-friendly places. Actually, just outside of Jacksonville, there's a lot of really nice horse farms, but you probably missed
them. Oh, I should have gone there instead. Should have left the football and gone there.
Well, not to mention in Miami, you were just down the street from Wellington, where all the horses in America that are dressage or jumper are descending at this moment.
That's bad timing.
Yeah, no kidding. That would be great. So, well, we're glad you came and you spent your first time in the United States, and it was not a horrible experience, and it was kind of fun, but that's great. What is happening over there in London?
Well, now that you're back. Story this week, now that I'm back, I'm catching up desperately with all the news. So the big story this week is about a racehorse called Blue Star, who we talked about a few months ago because he retired quite recently. And he has been Jumps Racing's answer to Franco, but we've had him in our license. I think 2005, 2006, he raced for the first time. And these Jumps horses, you know, they come back and they come every season and you follow them. And he had such a big following. People wore scarves and his colours, like people set their wedding to the colours of his jockey silk, and people have had tattoos of this horse, like he's beloved. And so when he retired, there was a lot of speculation about what he'd do next. And this week it turned out what he's going to do next, and that's going off to do dressage. And I thought everyone in the horse world would be delighted by this, but it's actually causing a bit of a storm, because the trainer wanted him to stay at the yard forever. I think so possibly everyone would come to visit the yard to see the famous Castle Star. The owner wanted him to go and have an active life and spoke to Yogi Breisner, who's quite renowned as the Olympic eventing coach over here. And he has convinced the owner that he should go and do a bit of jump back. So he's gone to Olympic shortlisted event rider Laura Collette to do some dressage reschooling. And so I'm delighted for him, but not everybody else is.
Well, I guess from what I was reading is, you know, first of all, is it a gelding?
Yeah, gelding. So there's no hope of him going to stud. All the top jump horses are always geldings, or occasionally you get good mare. But, there is no hope of him going to stud. So he's 12 years old, fit and sound. He's an active horse, and so it's great to see him go off and do another sport. And I do really hope he sticks to dressage and that he doesn't end up eventing, because he's been racing since the age of 3 and nearly 10 years, and I think a bit of dressage would be good for him. Take it easy, but still keep him in a routine and keep him busy, and the public can enjoy him and follow his progression.
I agree. Now, the problem was, I guess, the owner of the horse said, and I guess that he's been with his trainer since the beginning, the owner of the horse made these, we're going to make him a dressage horse, and we're going to have Laura Collette train him, and we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, and never told the trainer. So the trainer's like, excuse me, is that what you heard?
That was definitely the trainer's point of view, that they hadn't been kept in the loop, and they were just desperate for him to keep the horse there. He's been the yard superstar for years and years, and the people who look after him are really sad to see him go. But I can't see why he can't go off and do something else. And then maybe when he's like 18 or 19 and it is time for him to go out and enjoy some time in the field, then that's when you go back to the yard if everybody is so desperate to have him. But 12 going on 13, I just think it's a little bit young to be doing nothing and just to be going from that life where you're a centre of attention, where you get worked every day, to just going out in the field and doing nothing.
Yeah, I think that's a tough transition for any racehorse. And if they're sound and healthy, let's go. Let them do something. And I think
Absolutely.
You're right. Eventing might not be the best choice for a 12-year-old that's been running and jumping that hard. But at least he'd be very brave on cross-country, right?
Absolutely. I mean, maybe he'll get bored with dressage. Some horses are quite happy just doing a bit of schooling. Others, you know, maybe he'll miss something and get out of thing, and he'll show such a talent for it that they'll decide to take him eventing. But it's a bit like he's won the Gold Cup. It's the biggest, most prestigious jumps race in the calendar. I mean, this is huge. Like, hundreds of thousands of people go to Cheltenham for the festival, and that's the busiest day is when we have the Gold Cup. It's a huge race over here. And he's an absolute megastar. And I don't mind him doing low-level dressage because you don't get that many thoroughbreds competing at, you know, intermediate and advanced and in Grand Prix. But in eventing, there's no reason why he couldn't get to the top, apart from, of course, age is against him. So I just don't think he would get there. And so you just see him kind of at the lower levels. And I prefer to see him do dressage and have no pressure and no kind of nobody wanting him to move up the ranks, and let's see how far we can go. He's excelled in a career already. I think he should just have some fun with this new career.
Well, and we wish him and all his people the best and hope they get it all sorted out. Now, what is wrong with you people over in England? I'm gonna blanket statement your country and say, why the hell would you put a poodle wearing a helmet on the back of a miniature horse and send it out to jump jumps? Have you guys seen, Glenn, have you seen this video? Jennifer, have you seen this video?
I just watched it. It was actually kind of funny. And it did not look like the poodle was having that good a time, I have to say.
It looks like the poodle's holding on for dear life.
I do wonder about some of the videos that we found on our YouTube. That was my very able assistant, Charlotte or Jenny, that had been finding these videos in my absence. So I haven't actually had time to watch it yet. But another video that everybody's been watching on the site, I think we had 9,000 shares on one day, was a little video of a very small child jumping very big fences on a rather big horse. So if you go to horseandcountry.tv/video, you'll see what we mean. But that's been the talking point video. Forget dogs jumping ponies. That's apparently commonplace. Small children, big horses. That's what everybody wants to see.
Yeah, this is it's the title of the ad is Tiny Child, Big Horse, Massive Fences. And this is a tiny little kid on I mean it's got to be a 16-2 horse jumping. Oh my God, these are like 4-foot fences.
I think they're even bigger. I think they might be 5 feet. So they're at the top of the wings. And they're absolutely huge. I would like to point out it is definitely a child, because we did have people saying, are you sure that's not just a really small adult? No, it's definitely a child. And it is something to behold.
It's amazing. And then the turns he's making, these like rollback turns, flipping back around to these 4.5-5-foot fences. Oh, good God, this is scaring me to death. This is a push button horse.
Brave child.
Tell you that. Brave child. Wow, fantastic. And the title is We Will Find You the Perfect Horse. It's a sales video. Well, cool. Well, Victoria, thank you so much for joining us today. Anything else we need to go over? I know we just played a clip of a Bruce Springsteen song, and I hear about Bruce Springsteen, his daughter.
Yes, he had another article about her competing in a fancy dress competition, dressed up as an angel. So I think the show jumpers are having a bit of fun again.
Well, good deal. Well, I'm about to lose my computer connection here, so I've got to. Glenn, do you have anything else for Victoria?
Nope, I think that's it. Thank you, Victoria. We're glad you had a good time on vacation.
I did. Thank you very much, and I will speak to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, this half hour is sponsored by Easy Signs Online. You know, time is running out to get a beautiful sign, a custom sign from EasySignsOnline.com. You only have 3 more days. They can get Christmas orders. If you get them in by the 15th, you're going to be able to get your custom sign from Easy Signs Online. You can visit them at easysignsonline.com/holiday today to take advantage of the special 15% discount coupon that's only available to our listeners at the Horse Radio Network. So that's easysignsonline.com/holiday. They have a unique website that allows you to choose all of your sign options to see complete pricing every step of the way, from horse farm signs, carved signs, stall nameplates, vinyl banners, business and church signs. Whatever you need for a holiday gift, or whether you just need a sign for your business, you can find it there, and you'll get your 15% off coupon with free shipping. You know, signs can get large. You can order large ones, so shipping is an issue. And when you get that for free, it means something. So go to easysignsonline.com/holiday for the perfect Christmas gift. And what's really cool about their website is you get to see the design. You get to make all the choices you want to make and put it there. Or you can just give them a call, and they'll help you work through it. But let's hurry. You know, you only got 3 more days for it to be a holiday Christmas gift. And now coming up, we have a new song from a new artist that you're going to hear more of on the Horse Radio Network. Her name is Raquel Renner, and she does a song called Something Gets Broken. We did a musical episode that we recorded with her just last week, Jamie and I, and it's going to be played on December the 26th, the day after Christmas. You're going to hear that. We have some special episodes recorded for you for the holiday week, so you're listening to some new stuff. And you can find her music at RaquelRenner.com. We really liked her. She was a delight to speak to and to hang out with for an hour, and I think you'll find the same thing. This is her song, Something Gets Broken.
The sheriff pulled up with his sirens wide open, threw him in the camper.
That Something Gets Broken by Raquel Renner, a fellow Floridian, and you're going to get to hear all about her and her relationship with horses on the special musical episode we did for the December 26th show on Christmas week. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you today by Back on Track Products. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, who I don't know what that noise is. Do you hear that, Jennifer? We're turning Jamie off. She's going to have to call us back. I think that was Jamie. So I'm sure she'll give us a call back because I don't know what that was. And as I said, you're listening to Horses in the Morning, and we do have a change in the lineup this morning. We've been promoting Christy Lee Cook was going to come and join us today, but she has taken ill. We heard from her agent just a little bit ago, so Jennifer's going to try and reschedule that one. Are you back, Jamie?
I am back. I don't know what happened. I think my tiny little computer finally died.
Uh-oh. Not
my
good.
Little computer that I used to connect to the show is now deceased.
Uh-oh. We'll have to have your husband take a look at that.
Oh, he's working on it right now. That's what all the noises were, I'm sure.
Oh, okay. No problem. Well, we're going to I did have a backup plan for today in case Christy Lee didn't show up. We have a bunch of news we need to cover, but first, let's take a listen to part 6 in our helmet series that we have done. It's our holiday helmet series that we did in conjunction with Charles Owen and also Riders for Helmets. Today we have a very special segment for you that we did with Courtney King Dye. As most of you know, if you regular listeners to this show, it was Courtney King Dye's accident that her head injury after that, that got the Riders for Helmets campaign started a couple of years ago. Lindsay started it first to raise money for Courtney and also to raise awareness for helmet wearing, and she certainly has done that, and I'll have some good news for you coming up on that too. But we had an opportunity as part of this series to speak with Courtney King Dye. Now it's been 2 years since her accident, and she's back to riding again. She can talk about that a little bit. You do have to listen closely because her head injury has affected her speech a little bit. So listen closely. She's a delightful person. I love when we get to talk. So here is the part 6 in our helmet series with Courtney King Dye. Glenn the Geek here, founder of the Horse Radio Network. We are excited to bring you a special holiday helmet mini-series, giving the gift of safety, purchasing a helmet for your loved ones at Christmas. In this final part, Lindsay from Riders for Helmets and I speak to dressage rider Courtney King Dye. It was Courtney's tragic fall 2 years ago that was the inspiration behind the Riders for Helmets campaign. Courtney has been working very hard in physical therapy on her recovery. Let's hear how Courtney is doing right after we thank Charles Owen for sponsoring this series. When Charles Owen himself founded the company in 1911, his mission was to make products for a safer world. The incorporation of the latest technology in protection, fit, and ventilation allows you to focus on riding in the knowledge that your Charles Owen helmet will take the very best care of you. Safety, comfort, fit, all wrapped up in a helmet that is the epitome of style in each discipline. Why wait any longer? Nothing says you care more than the gift of a Charles Owen helmet for the holidays. There's a trained helmet fitter waiting in your local tack store, or you can find Charles Owen helmets at any of your favorite online tack outlets. Give the gift of safety and style this Christmas with Charles Owen. Well, hello, Lindsay. Welcome back to your series here that we're doing on helmets. I appreciate you joining us again.
Hi, Glenn.
And, of course, we have Courtney King Dye with us. And hello again, Courtney.
Hi.
Thank you so much for taking time out to join us on what we feel is a very important topic, and I know you do as well, and that's the topic of helmets. And we have to congratulate you for winning a terrific prize by the FEI, the Against All Odds Award. Did they notify you ahead, or was this a surprise for you?
Oh, no, that's a funny story. They couldn't get a hold of me for some reason, so they actually called Lindsay because they know she's in touch with me, so she's the one who told me.
Lindsay, you must have been excited, too.
I was so excited. I think I nearly wet my pants when they told me Connie had won. I was like, wow, I was so totally excited. I was like, really? I get to tell her? That's so cool.
And this award is really for athletes who have had challenges and who have met them and exceeded expectations. And you actually had the opportunity to get over to Europe to accept the award, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I'm so happy about that. And the trip, I think probably the best thing about it, other than the Turkish delight, of course, is that the IBI was very enthusiastic about Riders for Helmets and promoting the safety campaign.
And I have to add on the air that you looked absolutely terrific. We're going to put your picture in the show notes so everybody can see you accepting the award. Mm-hmm. It just goes to show that horse girls can get all dressed up.
And it's not often, but it was very fun.
Now, tell me, Courtney, how do you feel about your accident kind of being a catalyst for the global movement on helmet wearing? Because it was because of you that Lindsay really started Riders for Helmets. So it all comes back to you, all the changes that are really being made now.
Yeah, I mean, that makes me feel really good about my accident because I think it needed to have an Olympian injured and have a head injury to make helmets so important because it shows the level of skill has nothing to do with safety. So it just had to happen to one Olympian. So may as well be me. I'm fine. I'm happy about it. And it's real important. I obviously, for many years, didn't believe in riding a helmet other than on young or dangerous horses. So that hopefully, I mean, Lindsay's doing a great thing by trying to have everyone learned from an accident that gives my accident purpose makes it special.
And we all wish that this didn't happen in this way, but you know we don't have a choice about that now, and it did. I think you're inspiring in the fact that you're also back in the saddle again, aren't you?
Oh yeah.
And doing
Well, luckily the coma made me forget everything, so there's not an ounce of fear.
So there's what? I missed that end.
Not an ounce of fear.
Oh, gotcha. Very good. Well, now you also, while you were over there, did you find that the FEI and everybody that's there is now really aware of Riders for Helmets? And do you think that this subject is on the forefront of the FEI's minds at this point?
Oh, for sure. I can't tell you how many people talk to me about it unprovoked. So they were really enthusiastic about it.
One of the things we've talked about in the symposiums that have been put on by Riders for Helmets is the fact that it has to become sort of second nature, and it has to become the style. And the fact that she was not penalized by the judges, we know now that wearing a helmet, you're not going to get penalized by judges, is a huge step in getting more people to do it. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think more than anything is that she's a great role model. Like, the thing is that when people show, that's when people are watching them. So if people at home, if they wear the helmet at home or warm up and then put in the tata to show, that is not powerful because that's not what people watch. So the fact that she went in the biggest worst stage and wore a helmet just is like shows people that it's right and it's possible and it's cool.
Where do you take this a little bit different direction? Let's talk about you a little bit. What do you have coming up personally for 2013 with your riding and everything?
I have a really great horse who is in the London Olympics for 1A rider. And another client of mine, she's been helped me, been a client since I was 16 years old. And she bought a horse for me, and he's now 7. She bought him when he was 3, when I was able-bodied, and she wants to sell him and buy a para horse. And so my hopes are to be able to go for the WEG.
Oh, is that right, on the para side, Courtney?
Yeah, yes, on the para side, of course.
Well, we can't wait to see you in the next World Equestrian Games, that's for sure. Now, Lindsay, what's coming up with Riders for Helmets in 2013?
We have some really exciting things coming up. We're in the process of planning the fourth safety symposium, which will be held in the United States. And then we have very exciting, I was just telling Courtney about this on the phone the other evening, that we are planning our first international safety symposium for next year as well. So that's very, very exciting. And then, of course, we'll be holding the 4th International Helmet Awareness Day, and we really hope we're going to get even more retailers around the globe participate than they did this year, which was, I think, over 600 retailers. In 4 countries this year, which was phenomenal. So hopefully we'll take that to the next level as well. And I just want to say, you know, I don't think people perhaps, you know, perhaps some people that are not involved with dressage, for example, might not realize just what an impact Courtney has had. But her videos and articles on the Riders for Helmets website have been viewed and read now over a combined total of 100,000 times. And that's hugely significant. And I kind of don't think Courtney even realizes the catalyst that she's really been for this massive global helmet movement. And I'm just so totally proud of her. I really, really am. And, you know, she's taken so much of the stigma out of having a head injury as well, because it just shows that, you know, even with one's own personal misfortune, if you have the right attitude, you can still achieve so much, which she's done from the not only the education standpoint, but for just getting back on a horse and aiming to compete for our country again. I mean, that's just unbelievable.
Well, thank you to both of you. Thank you, Courtney, and thank you, Lindsay, and best of luck in 2013, Courtney.
Thanks, Joanne.
Thank you to Riders for Helmets for everything they do for helmet awareness and safety. You can visit them at riders4helmets.com. And thank you to Charles Owen. You can visit them at charlesowen.co.uk. And you can hear all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Well, we're back here on Horses in the Morning. I think we have Jamie back. Are you still there, Jamie?
I don't know. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay,
yes,
I can.
Are you back on your mic on your computer, or are you on the phone?
I'm on a totally different computer now. That was a very frantic 10 minutes. Thanks to my husband.
Thank you, Chad. Fighter pilot to the rescue.
I know, right? He just walked in and said good morning. I'm like, oh, my God! My computer's not working!
Yesterday, he had to put up with your crying for hours about the chicken. And today, he was expecting a nice little good morning, and look what he gets.
I know, right? I'm too emotional.
Guy should be sainted.
I know.
Guy should be sainted, put up with you every day. I don't know how he does it. Well, we do have some news for you. By the way, didn't Courtney sound good? She did sound good. And she's so looking forward to getting back to the WEG, which I thought was really cool. So we're looking forward to seeing her. Speaking of Paralympians, does the name Oscar Pistorius ring a bell from the Olympics?
I don't know. Does it?
Yes,
the Paralympian.
Yeah, he was the runner that competed in the sprints and things during the Olympic Games. He actually competed in the able-bodied competitions as well. It's South African, and he really, you know, got a lot of NBC time during the Olympics, that's for sure. Well, he is going to be doing a race in Qatar in the Middle East on Wednesday, highlighting the positive contributions made by people with disabilities. And why he's in the news story on our show is because he's going to be a racing an Arabian horse for this little promotion. So it's going to be Oscar against an Arabian. So we'll see how that goes. You know, of course, Arabian horses are kind of iconic over there in the Middle East. So it should be fun to see who wins the race. Who do you have your money on? Horse?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. When is this race taking place? I don't see when it says it's going to happen.
Wednesday, which I assume is today. So it'll be sometime today it's happening. So we'll have to get a follow-up for Friday.
No kidding. That's amazing. What an amazing guy. And I don't know. I mean, those little Arabs can really haul butt when they're sprinting. So
I know.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know who I'd put my money on there. You know, we have watched races before. I think, Jennifer, haven't we seen races before with humans and horses? And who usually wins?
Well, it depends on how long the race is.
Yeah, 100 yards, I think it's a human, right, that usually wins?
No.
I think
it's got to
be
a
horse.
It's got to be a horse every time.
No, we're going to have to look that up. We'll have to Google that. Speaking of horses and taking your horse for a ride, it's that time of year again. Have you ever been to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, Jamie?
Yes, I have.
Beautiful place. We have been there a number of times. We love Myrtle Beach. Well, this year, from the third Saturday in November through the end of February, you can take your horses on the beach for a ride. No permits required, but you must. There are some rules, and one of the rules is no more than 6 horses and riders can be in a single group at one time. I'm not exactly sure why. You are not allowed to ride across any sand dunes. They want to keep you off the dunes. But otherwise, you can park in one of the designated spots, and you can take your horses out. And they actually have a picture of the horses on the beach here with all of the people sitting in chairs and all the other people on the beach, and you're out riding along. That sounds cool. That does sound pretty cool because there's beautiful beaches there.
Yeah, no, first of all, there's nothing more amazing than riding horses on the beach. The 6-horse limit, maybe they want to make sure people aren't doing, like, you know, racing, like match racing kind of thing.
Yeah.
But when the article says you're supposed to clean up after yourself.
I guess you're holding a portable shovel. I'm not sure how that works.
You'd have to bring, like, they're going to have to start making mini shaking forks now to pack in a backpack to scoop up and sift through the sand to get the horse poop.
Yeah, then where do you put it?
I know. And then it's not like they have, like, the little doggy trash bags, like when your dog poops, you know, and you have to pick it up. It's on your leash. What, are you going to attach a garbage bag to your saddle?
It's a redefinition of the word saddlebag. Let's just say that. Yeah.
There you go. Exactly. You're going to have to carry a poop bag.
One side has your sandwich and your drinks. The other side has your horse's poop.
That's disgusting.
Just don't mix them up the next time. Hey, we missed something here, Jamie, that I didn't even know about. Jennifer, did you know that for the first time ever at the Ocala Breeder Sales, which is where they usually have the auctions of all the babies and stuff here in Ocala, Florida, 5 miles from us, across from the right across the street from the airport, they actually had the first live horse race there on Tuesday. Did you know that, Jennifer?
I had heard that they were trying to get permission to do it. I think what they're trying to do is work their way gently towards being allowed to have a proper race meet. And this they're sort of testing the waters.
Apparently hundreds of people lined the rail. They took betting, and they did their first race there. They do have an official track because a lot of training goes on there. So they had their first live horse race there on Tuesday afternoon. So that sounded exciting. They had some horses. One of them was Call Me Easy Money, which is a great name for a racehorse. If you think about it, Jamie. Call Me Easy Money.
That is a good racehorse name,
yeah,
for sure.
I think that's a great name.
Hey, I got a story for you. Some good news here. You know, one of our most famous horses in the world and one of the world's most famous favorite horses, Barbaro. Well, his full brother, Nicanor, who raced a bunch of times, I think 18 times, and was 4 two and four first places. Did decent, but not amazing. Obviously, not the record his brother had for sure. But anyway, 6-year-old Nick Nora is going to be heading to stud at Shamrock Farm in Woodbine, Maryland. So you know, if you want us to have a grandson of Dynaformer, I guess would it be a nephew of Barbaro? Then you can breed to the 6-year-old here for, I believe it's only $2,500.
Ah, cool. Very good. Well, now, I saw that you also, speaking of famous racehorses, I saw you liked a page on Facebook the other day, one called Zenyatta's Prince.
Oh, yes. Zenyatta's Prince. If you want to go join the baby page for Zenyatta's Prince, Zenyatta's Prince is the Facebook page of Zenyatta's son. I don't know if that's his official name or not, but
I was going to ask you, did they name him? Because they hadn't named him last we knew.
No, yeah, I don't think they've officially named him, but that's the name of his Facebook page, Zenyatta's Prince. So you can go follow that now. Yay!
That could be a cool name, huh? I like that name.
I'm sure they love that name. I'm sure they would love to have it, and if they can get it, I'm sure they'll do it.
And he has already, this youngster has 3,700 followers. Is he a yearling now?
No, he'll be a yearling in the spring.
Okay, yep. Wasn't sure.
So he's weaned. He's a weanling, but he's already been weaned, I would imagine, because it's that time of year in Kentucky. Everybody's weaned. So, he's.
I love this picture. There's a picture on his page of him with his new owners, or his owners, rather, and it's so funny because the picture looks like he just got out of bed. His forelock is all messed up, and it's all sticking multiple directions. He just looks like he just got out of bed. I mean, it's a very cute picture.
He is adorable. And shockingly, I mean, he looks, aside from him having a star and not having a long blaze, he looks so much like her with the same color, the dark bay with the brown nose and the kind of, you know, big expressive ears.
Yep.
He just looks so much like her. It's cool.
Very large ears, actually. You're right. Well, the USCF announced the Pegasus Award honorees for 2013 yesterday, and they have a couple of categories that they announce every year for the Pegasus Awards, which is the United States Equestrian Federation Awards that they do every year. The Lifetime Achievement Award goes to Joe Fargus. Now, he is out of Middleburg, Virginia, and those that are interested in the sport of show jumping will recognize that name. He was a show jumper for more than 40 years. So he has served as a competitor, trainer, administrator. He's done it all in that world. So he received the Lifetime Achievement Award for 2012. Junior Equestrian of the Year is Hunter Chancellor. And 17-year-old Hunter is apparently a junior at, I don't even know how to say this, Mater Dei Catholic High School in Evansville, Indiana, participates in American Saddlebred competitions and has maintained, now get this, wouldn't this piss you off, Jamie? Has maintained a 3.99 GPA. That means he had one thing wrong somewhere on one test that kept him from 4.0. I mean, terrible when you're
that sucks. And you know what, my dear sweet husband, he's so smart, and he was kind of a nerd and still is. And he was also the 4.0. What was your final GPA? 3.99999. Because of one class. He got A's in everything since he was born, except for one class he got a C in high school. Would you like to take a guess?
Jim.
Nope, not Jim.
Math.
Chad is a math major, okay? So he was very good at math. He was athletic. He played on all the sports teams. So Jim, he scored fine in. Now, this is a man who is a fighter pilot now. The one class he got a C in, driver's ed. Defend yourself if you want. He's sitting here just shaking his head. Driver's ed.
He lost a 4.0 because of driver's ed. Oh, that's embarrassing.
Isn't that terrible? Terrible. I wish he could just stuff that driver's ed guy in the backseat of his plane right now and take him for a ride. Be like, suck it.
Yes, make them. The one other award for the Pegasus Awards was the Pegasus Medal of Honor, and that was created as an annual award to recognize individuals who have exhibited outstanding service to horses and equestrian sport. And this year it went to Linda Zhang. Linda Zhang has been prominent in the sport of dressage in the U.S. and Europe. She competed in numerous big competitions around the world and is very well known in the dressage world. So she deserves that award, Linda Zhang. So those are the three Pegasus Award nominees for winners actually for 2012.
Well, good deal. Let's wrap it up. I gotta go check on my chicken.
Okay, make sure he's still there. Well, thank you, Jamie, and good luck, everybody, the next couple of days. Be safe out there riding. Wear your helmets, and we'll see you on Friday. Don't forget to get your entries into jennifer@horseradionetwork.com for the Really Bad Ad segment on Friday. So get
now,
your entries in.
And don't forget, coming up on the show Friday, live, right here, Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg is coming on the show Friday.
Wait. Both of them together. And you know what I heard too? Tommy Turvey just called. He said he's coming on too.
Oh, it's going to be action packed. Stay neutered and yell, people.